I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wyler from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Breakno from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back to the next edition of Run with Coach Parry. I'm Brad Brown, and we've got Lindsay Parry with us once again. And we've got some great feedback from the change of the podcast. If this is the first one you're listening to and it's new, guys, welcome. And our goal is just to dig really deep and try and help runners as much as we can around the planet. It doesn't matter what you're training for, whether it be a 5K or if you're planning to do your first park run, or if you're training for a half marathon PB, or you just want to finish your first marathon. We definitely want to help. So that's a little bit of background. If you are enjoying the podcast, please do leave us an iTunes review and a rating. It just helps us get in front of more eyeballs and into more ear holes, so to speak. And it helps us grow this community as well. If you're looking for a training program, we've got a whole bunch on our website. All you have to do is head over to coachparry.com/start. And that's where you can get all those training programs. Well, we've got another guest on the podcast today. Before we introduce her, let's touch base with the coach. Lindsay, welcome back. Nice to touch base with you again. Welcome back.
Yeah, no, looking forward to chatting, catching up with another runner and helping them on their journey and making it a successful one.
I love it. Well, let's get straight to that runner. And she joins us now from my old stomping ground, Krugerfornia, on the west rand of Joburg. Taryn Coots, welcome on to Run with Coach Parry. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to join you.
Taryn, before we get into what you're training for and what Lindsay can help you with, tell us a little bit about yourself, sort of work-wise. What do you do? Why do you run? What sort of distances are you focusing on?
Work-wise, I'm in the animal health industry, so I'm a medical rep who sees the vets. So, yeah, that's what I do, lots of traveling. I started running because it was convenient to fit in with the family life. And then, yeah, it just continued from trying to do a 10 to a 21 to a marathon, and then decided to try Comrades, which I did my first one last year. Then after Comrades, I decided let's just go back a bit and try and fix the speeds and try and get better PBs on the shorter distances, the 21s and the 42s. And that's where I am now.
Awesome stuff. Why, how long have you been running? When did you start?
I started January was 2 years ago.
Okay, so a couple of years.
Been running for 2 years.
Got a nice base. I'm going to hand you over to the coach. Lindsay, jump in and let's see how we can help Taryn.
Yeah, cool. This is another lack of call because we've clearly got the typical South African journey, which is we almost start running and then we have to run Comrades because you're not a runner in South Africa unless you run Comrades. But you have made in my opinion, the very wise decision to first become a good runner or a better runner at the shorter distances. And one thing that I can assure you is that the faster you are over the short, the better you will be over long. The problem that most people sit with is that they're trying to balance both ends of that stick. So in South Africa, we tend to spend the first 6 months getting good for long, and then we want to spend the second 6 months getting fast, but we actually should be recovering properly from Comrades. So you've already made quite an important decision and step in making this successful, because you're giving yourself every chance of success. So a couple of questions for you from me. How many times a week are you currently running? And give me a rough idea of what that structure looks like from Monday to Sunday.
Okay, so for Comrades, I actually followed your finishers program, which said run 4 times a week. So I run now typically a Tuesday, a Thursday, and then a Saturday and a Sunday. The weekday runs will be one fast run. So we'll do a speed work over an 8K. So you can call it your time trial if you want to. A little bit of a slower run. And then on the weekends, I'll do about between 10 and 15 on a Saturday and 20 or more on a Sunday. on a slower distance, on a slower pace,
Okay, and your specific goals now, you want to get faster over the shorter stuff, but do you have some specific goals? Where are your PBs sitting roughly at the moment?
Okay, so on last Thursday, I actually did my PB on the cradle race on a 21, which was 2:06. So previous to that was a 2:10, so 4 minutes faster. And then right now my PB on a marathon is about 4:38. But that was before Comrades. That was my PB before Comrades,
Okay. So have you got a marathon lined up that you've entered that you're training for?
For Kaapsehoop.
Okay. So we're training for a marathon in November. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So again, the basic ingredients are in place. You are getting a little bit more running experience. I do find that people can really improve a lot by maintaining a 4-day-a-week training program. Mm-hmm. Once you start to get more specific about your goals, there is room for maybe a fifth day, but I wouldn't hurry into that fifth day. It really does depend on how you are handling the training and how you are recovering from that training. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got loads of time. I mean, we're talking to each other in May, and your goal marathon is only in November. So from a structural point of view, I wouldn't make a lot of changes to your training program. But there are a few things that I would look at doing. Now, the first is not to start training too hard, too soon for the marathon. Okay. So over the next couple of weeks, still want to maintain quite a general preparation phase. So doing the odd hard run on a Tuesday and slowly building up your mileage, particularly for one run, being your Sunday run, you would build that up over the time. What you want to do in terms of targeting that specific marathon is your last 2 to 3 weeks will be a taper, and your 10 to 12 weeks preceding that will be what we'll call your peak training period. Okay. Mm. So up until then, you really want to just build a body that can handle 10 weeks of hard and slightly intense training. The other change that you may want to consider, if you've got the time to do it, is that because you're training for a downhill marathon, is that you do want to get into a gym and get nice strong glutes and nice strong quads, because that's going to help you out a lot when you get to the race. So that Tuesday I would keep as your harder run, but as you get more into the specific cycle of the training, you wouldn't just keep doing a hard 8K or time trial type of thing every week after week. I would look at breaking that up into doing some fartleks, some time trials, some hill work. But essentially, you'll have that 1 day a week that'll be quite hard. You'll have the easier recovery week run, which will be somewhere between 8 and 12. Maybe it'll get to about 15 Ks when you hit your peak marathon training. On the Saturday, I like the fact that it's a long-ish, easy run, but it's not long. And then on the Sunday, you're going to have to gradually build that up so that you tip in those peak weeks, you will run at least 25 Ks up to about 36 Ks. And if you stick to those things, then you're going to improve a lot. I mean, you've gotten to the point now where I think you can start thinking about a sub 2 hour 21.
That's what I want to do by the end of winter.
Yeah. So if you get that right, look, it is possible. Again, you are going to up that mileage just a little bit on the weekend, but not ridiculous. Get it up to a regular run of 20 to 25-ish. And as I said, start throwing in a little bit of fartleks and whatever, but you also don't want to do too much of that too early. And yeah, you get yourself to, you will get pretty close to 2 hours, which will then put you in a position to run around a 4:10 to 4:15 marathon, obviously that'll depend on how close you get to under 2 hours. I mean, if you end up with a 150 or to 155, then that puts you in line for a 4 to a 4:05 marathon.
Okay, perfect.
Have you got some specific questions that you'd like to ask, or things that you are battling with that we can maybe help you with?
I was born with a club foot on my left foot, which has been fixed. But what I battle with is, especially when I look for shoes, is that my left foot pronates really badly and my right foot is completely neutral. So I'm in pronation shoes at the moment in Brooks, which up until now I haven't had an injury related to shoes. I've been basically injury free for the 2 years of my running. But I am a lot weaker on my left. My left calf is smaller than my right calf, so there is definitely a weakness there. Do I do more strength training on the left side, or how do I approach it?
Okay, so this is a fantastic question. So you don't do extra strength training on the left-hand side, but what you do is whatever strength training you do, you always do it single leg. Okay, so if you're in the gym, for example, you would do single leg presses, or you do step ups onto a bench, or you do single leg squats. So you don't do exercises where your strong leg can help the left leg. Okay.
Okay.
And you always do your repetitions first with the left leg or the weak leg. So if you're doing single leg squats, for example, perhaps you'd start with body weights initially, but maybe you start adding some lighter weights. But you always do left leg first. Whatever weight and whatever number of repetitions you can do with the left, you then repeat with the right. Okay.
Okay.
And that's quite important to do it that way, because what will then happen is obviously the exercise won't be nearly as challenging for the right as it will be for the left. But it means that at some point in time, you will get close. And when the left catches up to the right, you can progress them both together. Otherwise, you're always going to have an imbalance. And if you specifically target and do more on the left, for example, it's also difficult to figure out when does the balance shift. So while the right is stronger than the left, it's always going to do more work, and it actually becomes more at risk of injury than the left. Not the other way around.
Okay.
So if we do it this way and you work the left hard, it will catch up to the right eventually. The other thing that's very important for you to do is to do stability type of exercises. So when you are in the gym, it's not all about strength. They always have hedgehogs or stability pads or Bosu balls. You want to spend a little bit of time doing single leg balance, always right and left. Whatever the left does, the right also does. If they've got a mini trampoline in the gym, you want to do a little bit of you don't have to do it for long. You do each little thing for like 30 seconds, but you do a little bit of running on the trampoline. Then jump twice, jump three times, jump on one leg for 10 seconds, other leg for 10 seconds. But those are really great stability exercises. And really that's one of the areas where you're going to battle with it, particularly when you've had that much surgery, to correct that foot, is your stability is one of your difficulties.
Weak.
Look, down the road, if you build up sensibly, you shouldn't need your good leg will adapt just fine to those anti-pronation shoes. So you shouldn't have to worry about your shoes as long as you are always building up slowly over time and doing your strengthening exercises. Down the road, if you were to get to a point in time where there were some problems that cropped up, then you could get to a podiatrist where you would have neutral shoes where the left foot would then get specifically adapted and they would build a specific insert. But the way that you've gone about running and it being sensible, I don't actually foresee that being an issue. It's just that if a problem does ever crop up, just know that that is an option where you can get a neutral shoe, your right foot will be fine in it, and your left foot can get a orthotic or something similar made for it.
Perfect. Okay. And then my hips. My hips are just, they just hurt when I do the long runs. So okay. After your 42s plus, that's when it really starts to hurt.
Okay, so that is linked to the two things, which are one, that you haven't actually been running for that long.
Okay.
And two, that you do have quite a big biomechanical challenge. All right, so the combination, the way that you're going to deal with that hip pain is to actually make sure that you build up quite gradually in your mm-hmm. long runs, but that you do need to get them up to a certain level that you will consistently do longer runs. But that, so part of the issue will be taken care of over time. Of course, if there are too many situations where there's that sudden increase where you, mm-hmm. where you are getting sore hips quite consistently, then you are risking getting an injury. So that's why it also needs to be tackled from the other side, which get into the gym, do strengthening work, particularly of the glutes, the lower abdominals, lower back, quads. Those are the muscles that you're putting intense pressure on when you are running. Yeah. And if you do strengthen that and also just gradually build up that, that mileage, and stay with 4 days a week. I would say, you know, just taking that into account, that's quite important for me, certainly for the next year. Perhaps when you've been running for 3 or 4 years, there will be place to then add a fifth run in the week. But for now, it'll also give your hips the break and the recovery that they need.
Okay. I have been doing a lot of work, strength training with resistance bands for my hips, mm-hmm. Where you put it around your ankles and you walk however many paces to the left and then to the right.
I've
been doing that. And then a lot of side planking. Apparently side planking is also very good if you battle with your hips.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true or how true.
No, it is. So I'd continue with doing those. Squats are also really good for strengthening your glutes and your hips, as are step-ups. So you'd start on a low bench and you then move that to doing step-ups on a high bench. And the proprioceptive stuff that I've told you about, balancing on one leg, that's really good. When you get quite good at balancing on one leg, if you do get to that point where just standing on the Bosu ball is easy, you can close your eyes. That'll totally throw you out, but it'll provide stimulus. And once that's no problem, you can get someone to hurl objects at you while you catch them and really improve that stability.
Okay. And then one thing I wanted to add to my training is spinning. Is that something on cross training that you would recommend?
Yeah. So look, when you're going into the gym, no problem adding probably up to 2 spinning sessions. Certainly 1 it would be a good idea. Possibly 2 would be a good idea, but then you need to see how am I responding? Does it make me too tired, push me over the edge, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Because generally I keep Monday as a complete rest day where I do nothing. And then a Tuesday and a Friday I try and do something different. So
cool.
I didn't know if I start with spinning, should I just start with it on a Tuesday and see how it goes and then maybe incorporate it into a Friday class as well.
Absolutely. Very sensible way of doing it. If you do the first one and you respond well to it, then you try the second one. Yes.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Perfect. And that's where I'm battling.
Cool. That sounds
at
awesome.
At the moment. Yeah.
Well,
Great advice. Thanks for the advice and the help because, yeah, it just really puts everything in line of what I need to do. So, yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Absolute pleasure.
Taryn, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast today and to the coach as well. Thanks for your advice. Don't forget, if you'd like to be part of one of these calls, head over to coachparry.com/join, become a member of the Coach Parry online community. You can get all the details there. If you're looking for training programs as well, head over to coachparry.com/start. Taryn, best of luck in the build up to the marathon in November. And coach,
thank you.
We look forward to catching up with you again next week. Have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.